Today on Live Free and Ham, we talk 4-H, Yaggies, remote stations, POTA, Tides of Terror, extra class upgrades, and what is the Crouch's favorite color anyway? Next on Live Free and Ham. Well, as always, hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our bi-weekly show where during which we discuss ham radio topics and adjacent in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or our first-time guest, we're excited to have you here, and we appreciate the support, and thanks for tuning in to tonight's episode. As always, let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, callsign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-host.
Hey, it's Paul, N1OG.
And Todd, W1STJ.
All right, very cool, guys. Well, good to have you back on. But before we usually get into the topic, we got a bunch of housekeeping things we'd like to kind of take and catch you guys up on. As always, our storefront is up and running on livefreeandham.com/shop. You can check it out for any of the merchandise. We are all sporting the usual hats here that we all truly love and wear everywhere. And so, as always, we are always working on some great new ideas in the future. So we encourage you to come check back often or check out our socials for when we do new launches. Or updates or sales or anything of that. And you can always check our website directly at livefreeandham.com for all of those details. But as we know, we love feedback, good and bad. You know, we want to hear from all of our listeners as to how we're doing and what's going on. And so with that, you know, you can always email us and tell us about what's going on and how we're doing at livefreeandham@gmail.com. Or if you're the texting type, you know, just use that link in our show notes description to leave us an SMS review. And I see, you know, Paul reaching for his phone right there and, maybe a drink, sorry. Okay, he'll text us after the show and let us know how we're doing. You know, and we always want to hear you. But this week we have got some good stuff. I am slow and I'll have to edit this section out here, but here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Everybody, we got some news.
Slow down, Boog. Let me handle this. We've got some news. I've got bad news and bad news.
I have reviewed ship's personnel, Captain.
Congratulations, you've got mail.
Well, yes, that is true. We have another review from a great listener who checks out, who has been checking out Live Free and Ham, Chris KD9YSW. He said he subscribed, about 2 hours ago when he posted it, loves the podcast, listens to us while he's studying for his general. So Chris, we applaud you. Woo! Great work. We want to hear once you pass your general, let us know, send us a quick email, and we'll make sure we let everybody know and we celebrate with you along the way. And so, you too, as our listeners, we want to hear your feedback. We want to know how we're doing. We want to hear from you guys. So, you know, like I said, you can always email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com or use our SMS link in any one of our show notes descriptions, both on our YouTube channel and here in the podcast stream in the show notes below. But going full steam ahead, we've got a couple of things we just want to make you guys aware of. First and foremost, if you haven't, been aware of what's going on, our bands are obviously being threatened again. So we want to make sure that, our listenership knows, what stuff's going on. So Paul is going to take a little bit of time. We're going to talk about the 900 megahertz stuff a little bit and hopefully make you guys a little bit more aware and showing you guys how you guys can, keep the mission alive and provide feedback to keep those bands available to us.
Well, of course, I wasn't prepared for you to throw it to me, so I don't have the link up or anything, but the link will be in the show notes for the ARRL article on how the company, I believe it's called NextGen, and I could be wrong, but it's Next something. But anyways, they would like to take over a large majority of the unlicensed portion of the 900 megahertz band. They want to do some really cool stuff, which is fantastic. They want to increase, GPS so that it's pinpoint in buildings. And while that's a very worthwhile endeavor, We have to consider the effects that it'll have on every device that is currently already using the 900 megahertz band, such as every LoRa device that there is in the United States, pretty much. And, you know, they're talking about using anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 watts EIRP, which, if anybody knows what that kind of power does to a device that's running in milliwatts, it would be devastating to every LoRa device that's out there. So please use the link, go to the comments section. The new comments are currently closed, but you can leave comments on other comments. And so the more comments that we can get out there, we'll let them know. Please do not take away that unlicensed portion of the 900 megahertz band, because a lot of hams use it, and it's a very useful part of the spectrum. So we want to keep that.
You know, and there's definitely been some other YouTube hammers out there that have been promoting that as well. So, you know, go check out their videos by doing search for 900 megahertz, and you know, you'll find some of their great videos. Mike N2MK has got a really going out there as just a reference example, but a lot of repeaters still kind of use that 900 megahertz as a backhaul to other linking repeaters. So that is still alive and well in many big sections of the country. And so we want to make sure that we don't lose that. We definitely still hold on to every bit of frequency space we have been allotted as hams, because it's important. If we don't use it, we lose it, right? So, you know, get out and let them know. All right. So just a little bit of additional here. If you haven't figured out right now, and if you don't read our show notes at the bottom, you may not know we have a Discord. Well, if you haven't, you know, then let me be the first to tell you, we got a Discord. We want to have you guys come be a part of the Live Free and Ham community. It's one way to be able to, you know, to join and join free. The link is in all of our descriptions and on our website at livefreeandham.com. And we'd love to have you come be part of the conversation, come hang out. We try to do a lot of, updates there as much as we can. And we want to continue to kind of pour into it. So we're looking for ways to be able to just, you know, reach you guys as our community and build our community. So, you know, come be a part of that fun and talk to us, you know, hang out with other great hams. And, you know, you can do that through the Live Free and Ham Discord. And as always, we are obviously in the month of September. And so if you haven't been aware, we usually do a once a month live stream. So you're going to want to make sure you pay attention to our YouTube channel. And you can go over to youtube.com at a Live Free and Ham podcast and check us out there. And you can subscribe if you haven't, and make sure you hit the notification bell. And then that way you'll be notified anytime we go live. So we want you to come be part of that community. And as always, coupled with that, we participate in a bunch of other great, cool things. So you can catch all that stuff on our YouTube page or over at Live Free and Ham for any of the past shows or any of our video or audio archives. So with that, let me take a breath here and let's pick this back up. We are going to kick into...
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
Roger that. That is my ham radio is my outlet. But with that, you know, we've put together this segment. And so if you've been an avid listener or a consistent listener, you know that we've been doing every episode, the Do Good episode. And, you know, we want to promote people and clubs and other hams out there doing some great stuff for the hobby. And so, you know, I opened up the mailbox again today. And how many entries did you guys see in our mailbox?
Zero.
Roger that. Big old nil, as they say in soccer over in England.
No one's doing good.
Totally. I'm with you. However, we've got a saving grace. You know, unbeknownst, everybody else in this United continental United States or world for that matter, our club, you know, must be the only guys and gals that are out there promoting the hobby, because everybody else is just so busy doing everything else that, you know, we're out there having fun, spreading the gospel of ham radio, as they say. So, you know, with, you know, this Do Good episode, we're going to throw our club in and say, you know, hey, we were at the 4-H fair. this past weekend. So when this this episode's there, this will be a couple of weeks after. But either way, we decided as a club, you know, hey, what's the best thing we can do to be able to get out and encourage others to get it and play with ham radio and play with radio in general? And so we figured, okay, what better than 4-H? So they invited us along. We showed up, and I think we had a blast. I know I did myself. Paul, you can chime in there in a second or two and let us know your thoughts on it. But, you know, we did something I think that made a huge impact to who knows how many people showed up for that event on that Saturday. But we set up a special event station or get on the air type station. We had Aries represented. We had our club represented. We had a couple of awesome individuals in our club that, you know, just love talking about ham radio. And it showed, because I can't tell you how many people walk away thinking that I'm sure they were hot to trot. Two things I think we learned when we left that at the end of the day was, one, Quan Cheng is going to run out of a certain model of radio in the next week or two because of the few individuals that were pushing those radios hard to get them on the air and start playing. And two, there's going to be hopefully a big rush on everybody signing up to get their technician license on our club website. So I'm hoping the best. But, you know, Paul, what's your two cents on the whole or take on the whole thing?
So first of all, it was a fantastic day. The weather was absolutely perfect. But it was amazing. And huge shout out to Mike QVO and Ralph TLY. Those guys did so many good things getting the kids to, you know, get behind the HT and get on a repeater and make a contact. And while I was working the GOTA station, I happened to make contact with a station in Michigan that was putting scouts on the air for their merit badges. And so I got to talk to two scouts. One was 11 and one was 12. You know, it was so good to have all of those interactions with these kids. Plus there was a whole bunch of adults that came through and they're interested in signing up for our next testing session. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Very cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of positive feedback, on the, repeaters, both the, R repeater, the N1Q C repeater and the Epsom repeater. A lot of talk this week or over the weekend about how it went. And, I ran the net tonight and they said, that was all they really talked about is how awesome it was and how everyone had a great time. And, probably something we'll be doing every year, I guess, moving forward. Right. It was that much of a success. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. I was coaching baseball as usual. So I got one more year.
That'll be a two right there, Todd. We'll figure that one out.
What'd you say?
Well,
I'll have to be a what?
There'll be a t-shirt somewhere in there. I'm just busy coaching baseball. I can't play ham radio.
we would be remiss if we didn't give Tim KC1QDK a huge shout out too. It's amazing the progress that he's made in his own Morse code learning, and to sit there and teach the kids how to do their name in Morse code. A lot of faces were lit up and a lot of smiles and fantastic job, Tim.
Yeah.
Applaud Tim and doing such an amazing job with connecting with both young and old. Him and Bill, KE1G. Bill's an older guy that we all love. Bill, he's like an old soul. And you know, he is a wealth of wellspring of knowledge, as they say, when it comes to technical stuff. But he was super patient and super entertaining, if anything, to watch him, you know, show people how to do CW and Morse code, especially with their names. So it was cool to see that.
And he's a square dancing legend.
You might see him on Dancing with the Stars.
But there was one story, and you were mentioning stories earlier. There was one couple that I kind of walked into our booth that were like, they were totally over the moon. Alex and Henry, if you're listening to the podcast, I invited them to check us out and download the episode. So hopefully maybe, you know, they'll respond back and send us an email and let us know that they heard. But yeah, they were both super ecstatic about how cool ham radio was. And more so, you know, after introducing them to the podcast and telling them that, you know, between Todd, I, and Paul, you know, we're big beer, you know, craft guys and whiskey guys. And his eyes lit up. He's got a German. He's from Germany, or from Germany, I think. And so when, you know, I said both of those, he's like, "Oh, me and my wife, we're totally into all that stuff." So, you know, with that, you know, we might have a few more to add to the ranks there. So,
Oktoberfest coming up.
Yeah, and they absolutely loved my sticker. Just wanted to point that out.
Right. Classic.
Speaking of stickers, I have attempted to use the app Canva, and I've been working on just learning how to use the app. So I am working on my logo. So I will have stickers hopefully by Christmas.
Well, you heard it here. You know, when Todd says he's going to have something, we're going to hold it to him, or at least our ship's going to hold it to him.
I didn't say what Christmas. I just said by Christmas. I didn't say what Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
Christmas 27.
Yeah.
2029. All right, cool. Well, so, you know, if your club or you as an individual and you're a bunch of guys and gals that all get together to do stuff either with the public or within your club, you know, we want to hear about it. So take 2 seconds, click that SMS text button, send us something via email. And like we said on our last episode, if you send us this via Winlink to Paul, we will make sure we figure out how to get you on a future episode or a live stream. And that's a guarantee. So if we get one person, the first person that sends us something via Winlink on a do good that they did with their club, then we'll make sure we have you on either the live stream or
they could even say they did good by connecting to us with on Winlink. I did good.
No, come on. You got to be a little bit of like an effort that, you know, besides clicking a Winlink button to say, "Hey, I sent you a do good message."
Look at all the good I'm doing.
Right. Okay, I'm a big, you know, I think if you're out there doing POTA activations and you talk to someone about what you're doing and you introduce them or reintroduce them here, I think that's doing good. It's promoting our hobby. I can't tell you how many times like I'm out there and people call like, "What are you doing?" And surprised about how many people were in the hobby years ago, 20 years ago, still have their call sign, but haven't really done the hobby. And they're like, have no idea about like the new technology, and was shocked that, you know, we're doing a POTA activation or the radio is small and the antennas public. And stuff. Huh?
In public.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, that's doing good. POTA is good.
Okay. Well, you heard it here. So even if you're doing a POTA and you have a good POTA story that you shared with the public, we want to know. I mean, we don't care how old it is. We just want to hear about it. We want to share it with folks. So definitely send us to livefreeandham@gmail.com or your RSMS link or via Winlink, and you're guaranteed to get on the show, you know. And so with that, you know, we are going into our favorite segment, as we have been doing for the past couple of months.
Small.
Paul and I were doing a little calculation earlier about how long this has been going. What did we end up figuring Todd's road to extra was currently Orion?
So I'm guessing it's 8 or 9 months at this point.
Okay.
Because you figure, all right, so December makes a year that I've been on the podcast.
Has it been a year already?
Well, it's coming quick.
Yep. Damn.
It's been a year old, so yeah, why not? But we should actually figure out how many months Leia on HRCC's podcast has been studying for her general, and then match it up to Todd, and then we should just pit them against each other and see who gets
there. Well, she's been going on for at least 2 years now. I mean, it's been a long time.
So you're going to use hers?
Yeah. It didn't take me that long to get it. It took me 3 weeks to get the general, and that's because my friend over here basically threatened me and said, "You're doing it."
Oh, here we go again, the threat. The therapist. All right, with that. Before this turns into a therapy session about how I wrecked Todd's life and getting his general, you heard it here. This is where we help Todd study for his extra class. Each episode, we pick 3 questions from that extra class question pool, test his knowledge, and hope he gets his upgrade. As always, if you'd like to follow along, you can always head over to hamstudy.org. which is a great resource, and it helps you prepare for your test. And it's always recommended by 3 out of 4 volunteers examiners, as the American Dental Association wasn't going to comment whatsoever before the survey. So without further delay, I hand it over to our VE Quizmaster. Take it away, N1OG.
All right, Todd. So we're moving on to sub-element number 2. That's about time. Question number 1. What information replaces signal-to-noise ratio when using FT8 or FT4 modes in a VHF contest? Is it A, your grid square? B, your RST report? C, state abbreviation? Or D, a serial number?
Well, I haven't done FT8 or FT4 in a VHF contest. What's a RST report? Is your signal report, right? So it can't be that one.
Yeah, it's a receives signal and tone.
Right. So I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with grid square A.
Grid square is correct.
Great job. Great job.
All right. Off to a good start. Question number 2.
How come I've never seen these in my set? You sure this is the second section? I guess so.
It is. You see at the top there, it says sub-element E2.
Right.
All right. Question number 2. Which of these digital modes has the narrowest bandwidth? Is it A, MFSK 16? B, 170 hertz shift, 45 baud RIDI? C, Pachter 4? Or is it D, FT8?
I'm going to go with C, but I want to know what Eric thinks.
Oh, we got to throw me into the bus. Yeah, pretty good. All right. Narrowest mode. I'm going to go with... No, I'm going to go with that one.
He said MFSK 16.
A.
Okay. All right, so Eric's saying A. And what are you saying, Todd?
C.
Well, C is not correct. A is not correct. I'm going to say D. And D is correct.
Wow.
Wow.
FT8 has the narrowest bandwidth.
Wow.
I don't feel so bad. He got it wrong, too. And he didn't even pick what I picked. He's an extra. All right.
All right, 50%. Here we go. Question number 3. What is the function of a DX QSL manager? Is it A, to communicate to a DXpedition about propagation, band openings, pileup conditions, etc.? B, handle the receiving and sending of confirmations for a DX station? C, run a net to allow many stations to contact a rare DX station? Or is it D, allocate frequencies for DX petitions?
Well, Paul, I'm going to go with number or letter B.
I'd like number to know B.
Eric, or letter B. And I would like to see what Eric thinks.
All right, Eric, what do you say?
Oh, man, it's definitely not any of A, C. God knows that we would be calling 14300 a DX net. two as well.
Process of elimination, and you are correct. The DX QSL manager handles the receiving and sending of confirmations for a DX station.
Woo-hoo. I'm still an extra.
Well, right. Todd.
Eric.
There we go.
Two out of three ain't bad.
It's almost like if I get one wrong, I should just skip the last one and just get it wrong on purpose. All right, 2 out of 3, my new section. That's not bad. We're getting there.
Yeah, you're consistent. Last week was 2 out of 3, too. And the week before, you came out of the gate, you know, on fire and got 100%. So, you know, hey, not bad. You know, you're not losing it. You know, still retaining it. So all good. All right. Well, so with that, so if you're on the journey to studying for Technician General or the extra class like Todd, in that case, hamstudy.org is a great resource for getting your ticket. And we want to know if you've received your license or you've upgraded just recently. You know, we'd like to recognize you on the next episode for all your hard work and effort. So again, email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com or feel free to use the SMS link in our description notes to let us know what, you know, license class you got upgraded to, what your call sign is, and we'll make sure we mention you on our next show.
All right. Send us a picture.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we'd love to showcase it on our website too as well. So, you know, let us know, share that information. Let's rejoice together and celebrate together. So, all right. Well, with our usual format, guys, let me ask you, Paul, what's been going on in your ham radio week?
Wow, my ham radio week. Well, let's see. So yesterday we spent a whole bunch of time at the Hillsborough County 4-H Agricultural Fair. And so that was a wonderful experience. It was a day filled with nothing but ham radio.
And tractor.
Yes, and the tractor pulls were awesome. One of the Flag and Torch members, who's also on the Weekend Warriors with me, he has a 3D printer, and he's so excited about his 3D printer that he printed up a whole bunch of stuff. And when he showed me these, I said, "Hey, I want one of those. Can you send me one?" And he did better. He sent me 2. But so it's just the 3D printed case, because he ran out of power poles. So I got to put the power poles in. But it's a nice little distribution block. And so thank you, Stephen, for sending me 2 of those. Otherwise, I was able to make a contact with Jason from Ham Radio 2.0 this week. And I believe that I got Rob, N1NUG, in a park this week. And Tim from Gray Man Poda, I got him in a park this week as well. So overall, it wasn't, you know, a ton of radio, but I had a lot of fun doing it. And it was great to make the contacts that I made.
Very cool. Nice. Well, sounds like it's definitely got some good radio time there. And glad, you know, we have a week that went by that we actually played ham radio. So it was always good. Cool. All right. Well, with that, Paul, Todd, over to you. How was your ham radio week doing?
Well, I went back to work, and so that really sucks. I really like being retired. But, you know, duty calls, and now I'm back. But so I've been not doing much POTA stuff, not this week, but I did I have been back on the repeater during my commute there and from. So I've talked to some of the guys I haven't talked to in a while. It's been good. I was today before we did this and before I ran the net this evening, and I was trying to – I saw Alaska came up 20 meters, Jeremy, hey, good, KL70C, can't get you on 20 meters, buddy. You're on my list, you know?
I couldn't hear him either. I tried.
You tried. I'm like, just, you know, if he had gone to 10, I'm almost positive I could have gotten him if he was on 10 meters, but he wasn't. So if you're watching this or listening to this, next time you go out there, just try 10 meters, you know, for like a half an hour.
For Todd's sake, do 10 meters.
Yeah, get Alaska. Then I'll focus it on Hawaii. I think Alaska's closer, right? It should be easier for me to get than Hawaii.
Surprise, man. So, yeah. Sometimes it's a reach to even try to get Texas.
Yeah, I know. The bands have been improving. You know, today on the net, everyone was talking about how 10 meters the last couple of days has just been awesome. And I noticed on my app that's never accurate, but everything went to good. Instead of poor, so
too good.
That might be a good sign. I'm itching to go out and do a POTA to see how good it really is. But let's say
just so you know, Todd, I was looking at the projected K index, and 2 days from now it's going to be a 6.
Great news! Thanks.
That extends.
Anything I can do for you, buddy?
All right. So, well, sorry to hear
I did see some guy found a picture that was just taken of a like a floating flare, like off the sun. And it was just kind of like floating off the sun. He took it with like a telescope or something. And then he put a like a scale picture of Earth. Like this thing was like three times the size of Earth. And it was just floating like off the sun. I was like, oh, I'm like, if that's coming our way, that's going to really suck.
Yep. Eric, how was your ham radio week?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Yeah, so my ham radio week was similar to what Paul mentioned about the 4-H stuff. I spent the past couple of weeks trying to just get that organized and together and on top of a whole bunch of other stuff I had going on. But yeah, that was a blast. We ended up doing, you know, that event. And like Paul said, you know, contacts at the Get on the Air station. It's always comical. And I was sharing that with a bunch of the guys that were standing around. I'm like, every time I hop on and I'm calling CQ, I get crickets for 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden I get like 4 or 5 contacts and things are good. And this is the same thing in my POTA life. You know, and it takes a little while for the motor to get going. And then like anytime with POTA, like anybody, I'm sure either on this podcast or anywhere else, when they say last call, what happens? You get the floodgates open. I get nothing. I get chirps. So lo and behold, guess what happens to me when I'm like, all right, I'll make this one last try after I think the third attempt. I end up getting like maybe total 12, probably nothing, you know, to shake a stick at. But, you know, contacts were fun. I mean, mostly stateside and the bands, like we all mentioned, have been crazy busy. I think we had at least I know today at this time of recording, we had an R1 blackout, which was like really kind of just sitting right over like the east, you know, right over the Atlantic Ocean for us. And, you know, it was like, oh, tough going. And so, you know, with that, I tried to play a little home radio, but, you know, since I gave Shane K5 QBF access to my Flex, I have to now ask for permission if I can use my Flex because he's just using my Flex. So I'm like, I don't mind. He's good to use it. It's totally fun to watch him play. I know past couple of, if you're an HRC listener, between Paul's, your remote station, because he's got the heater. He's the one that they go to when they need the extra horsepower and or firepower, as they say. And then, you know, the only reason why that they use my Flex is because it's nice and shiny and a little bit, you know, colorful interface. But yeah, the power all goes to, you know, N1OG when they need to pound the message home. So, yeah, with that's pretty much kind of my ham radio week. And I'm hoping to, like you said, get out and do a little bit more POTAs. I mean, I had an opportunity to go today, but I kind of turned it down because I was like, by the time I looked at my watch and, you know, tried to figure out what my battery state was, I was like, just close it up and we'll do some other time. So that was my original plan.
Don't forget to plug the charger into the wall.
Yeah. Funny story with that is that I'm actually creating a video because I've now like took that and said I'm going to solve that problem because I'm like everybody else. You have like 9 USB chargers for all your USDV devices, and if you do any YouTube recording or video recording, you have all the battery chargers. So I finally have, you know, bought all the components I need to have a full complete station where I take all my batteries out, plug it all in, and everything gets charged now. Everything's getting charged at the right levels and everything has a connector for the connector type. And if it doesn't have a power pole on it and I can put a power pole on it, guess what's getting a power pole. So that's solved.
I need like, you know, with the RC hobby and all the different batteries and chargers, I need like a whole room for a charging station if I was going to charge everything at the same time. But I was going to ask you guys a question. You guys know more. Like I said, I just like to operate. I don't really get into like how it all works. I mean, I'll listen to it, but that's not my thing. I wonder, can I take a DC plug and plug it into my cigarette lighter, right? Like the cigarette lighter in your car, and run the battery from that and run it into the radio? Would that work?
So the issue with that is typically those DC power outlets with the cigarette lighter. Mm-hmm. They're only rated for 10 amps, and most 100 watt radios are looking for about 20. Okay. So that's the hang up there.
Cause I was going to say, I looked in my Jeep and I have one like right there. I was like, oh, how awesome would it be if I could just plug it in?
Your Jeep is relatively new, which is surprising. You have a cigarette lighter. I mean, most modern.
Well, it's not a cigarette lighter. It's, I just call
the power port.
It's the power port. I mean, it doesn't do cigarette lighters. It just, it's the power port that I have one in the front and then I have the one in the back so you can plug stuff into it. So, yeah.
Good old cigarette port. Yep.
Yeah. So that was a good kind of a question, like in case, like, you know, you're doing a POTA, you die a battery, backup, you got your car battery, but I guess that's not going to work.
If you're going to do, like, if you want something like that, what I do is, I mean, obviously I go wired directly to my battery for most of my stuff, but like where my HF stuff, I did two things. I have it wired directly to the car battery, but I'm not like always pulling power from that. I bought a West Mountain radio, what the model is. It's the one where you can run shore power and or alternative battery, and it does solar. The model number is going to escape me if I don't look it up. But that basically is just one little box and it's all power poles on the top of it. And so you can plug your radio in as the output source. You can plug in the what they call the mains power, and that could be the battery off your car. And then it's got a third power pole port that you can put to, like what I did was move it to another, basically a cigarette, not a cigarette lighter, a power pole port that I mounted on the inside of my center console, and then I just plug the battery into that. So like I'll bring my 20 amp hour battery BioEno with me, plug into that. And then when I shut the truck off, the radio will still keep running because the West Mountain radio device says, oh, power is gone from there. I have this power source in the background, and it just kicks it in. And
run both at the same time?
It could. No? Well, it can actually charge the battery, the BioEno battery on top of it from mains power if I wanted to. So I have that in the backup, I don't have that backup as a battery.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out next time I see you. That's kind of cool. Yeah, it's always, I always think it'd be cool to have, I want to have a backup, you know, just in case. And, you know, even running the wire, I don't mind connecting stuff to my car battery and then just being able to, you know, because it's happened to me before, you know, like I forgot to charge the radio, didn't think, and then you're in the middle of a call in CQ and all the radio dies and you're like, well, that's the end of that one.
Called an Epic Power Gate. So, yeah, it does that.
Epic Power Gate.
So Eric, that gets me thinking, right? So the car stereo in my truck died, and my cigarette lighter that died. So I got to take my whole dashboard apart, right? Now, if I could find some type of a 3D printed power pole mount, right, like a little circle mount or whatever, and I'll put a hole in the dash and have the power pole connection right in the dash, and I can just plug my battery right in that way, and then have another one that's an output and plug my radio in.
Funny,
I'll have power poles right in my dash.
They have you can buy a 3D printed one, or you can, there's a bunch on Printables and a few of the other like sites, so if you want to send it over to Ryan, I'm sure he'll print it for you. And it just basically has the power pole inserts, but it's threaded on one side. So you have just a threaded nut that you can sandwich up against a piece of plastic. So you just cut it out. Oh, or you can go to Amazon for like $11. And I think I have one, that I bought there, and it's actually behind me. I could go grab it and just, you know, go with you.
What did you get, West Mountain Radio, or did you use PowerWorks?
West Mountain Radio.
Yeah. They're on, I just looked up, they're on back order until, let's see.
December. Both of them are?
No, yeah. Well, yeah, the 1673 and the 1795 are both, they're both the same price. What's the difference?
The orientation of the power poles. All of one's facing down, the other one's facing out the unit. They ended up sending me, I wanted the one that was facing up, and I think they sent me the one facing down.
With them shooting out, yeah. Right. Yeah, so, yeah, that's, I'm going to look into that. That might be kind of a cool thing to have.
Manages it all on itself, so you don't ever have to think about it. Like, because I was thinking about building my own little circuit because I was studying, looking on the web, thinking, oh, I'll build a small little thing that does all the switching, and then I just
So you leave your BioEno plugged into it, and it's connected to your car battery. So if you're not using the car battery, the BioEno, and it knows, do you have to like program it to tell you which one's the priority?
No, basically it's labeled as such. So like if you look at the little icons. One says battery, which is your main battery, meaning car battery. And then the other one is your, what they call the power supply, or actually it's the reverse. Battery is battery. So it would be my BioEno would be plugged into the battery side. And then my power supply is the source from the car. So that would be the car's battery.
All right. So
it's essentially just a charge controller, right?
pretty much. Almost.
And you can plug in the solar panels.
Yeah, I can. If we could ever find power film or solar panels that were like thin that I could mount to like the hood or the roof of my car, then I would wire that up and be like, dude, I'm so sufficient. But the ones I've seen, I can't afford. I mean, are freaking ridiculous for the thinness of it. But yeah,
I know. Well, I know that they have they have those like flexible solar panels that they use for like RVs and stuff that they bend over the roof. And it can
power film.
Yeah.
It's expensive for even like a small little section. So that's
just put it like it on like the hood, the roof.
Yeah,
windows. Just your whole car.
Not doing that yet. I mean, like it's silly not to. Like
that $100,000 Tesla truck would have plenty of space for solar panels.
that I'd spend my money on it. Then I'd be like, hey, I don't have to worry about you paying electricity to charge the thing.
I saw one of them in North Carolina, and I was like, I saw it driving, and then we went to the store, and it was parked in the parking lot. And I took a look at it, and then I just saw one in Merrimack, right at exit 11. It was parked, in a parking lot, and I'm like, damn, I'm like, that is got to be the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Like, what?
What everybody says.
Yeah, it doesn't look even like a truck. Like, what do you, I mean, it looked like something like I'd build like with Legos when I was a kid, you know?
Yep.
Well, all right. I'll comment on that in a second. But so Eric, the nice solar, the solar panels that I got that fold up, like you could lay that out across your hood and then run the cable in through the window.
Yeah.
In theory, right? You could do it.
But he wants to be on, like running solar,
like 24/7. 24/7.
Like driving, and the sun's out, he's charging.
Think about this. Like, no. I have a giant 6-foot bed cover, and in essence, it's all like a fold over, and it's all just like vinyl. Like, if I could make that whole entire thing solar, and it would still
be amazing.
That would be amazing. I'd buy it, and I don't care how much it would cost me. So, like, okay, I'd be able to charge everything off of it.
Yeah. All right. So now the Cybertruck thing. Not to like shamelessly promote freaking other people's YouTube channels, but the AK guy, Brandon Herrera, he lives in Texas. He ran for Congress and just barely lost. But he bought a Cybertruck and he turned it into a Halo Warthog. And this thing is cool as hell. Like, he put a turret on it with a 50 cal and everything, like, and it looks like a Warthog.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, that would be a cool
one. Check that out.
Yeah. Right off the floor, not so high. And then the funny thing was, is like, it's got like that flat front. Like, it's not even like a round, it's just like a block. And the guy had like all kinds of bugs just splattered all over, like about this much space. I'm like, look at all those bugs on that bad boy.
Dude, that is pretty slick. I'm actually just looking at some of the images on the internet. Dude, I don't know. That's pretty slick.
It's gnarly. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. What's the guy's YouTube channel?
The AK guy.
Yeah,
the AK guy.
Or just Google Halo Warthog Cybertruck and you'll get a whole bunch of similar photos.
Yeah.
But this is on there. Oh yeah, that turret's ridiculous. Oh man. Wow. Some people have way too much money. Oh, cool. All right. Well, like, let's kind of get into the discussion tonight. We've got a smorgasbord. Yeah. Or, buffet style kind of conversation tonight. We're going to be bouncing all over the place here tonight. We were just kind of, vamping offline a little bit, thinking about, hey, what topic should we talk about? Where should we go? And because we definitely got some stuff that we're working in the background on having on future shows, but this show, we're just going to take a little lightly, I mean, it's not going to be the vacation show of Todd and Paul, but, it'll be a combination of all of us and stuff going on. So
it was the best show ever, right? We had the most watch. It was huge.
Actually, funny story is that it is actually because one day we had like 90 downloads alone on that one show. I don't know where the hell they came from. 90 downloads. Everybody download Paul and Todd show. They can't stand Eric. So that's okay. That worked. And I've got a little bone to pick with you, Mr. W1SCJ over there. I didn't cry about the ham and potato side of things in terms of, the low being so bad. I actually love the Liberty Ham one. I was just coming up with a crappy one, and that's what came to mind. So that tells you how good my creative skills are.
I thought the ham and potato was kind of cool, but Liberty Ham was much better. So yeah,
can you imagine the ham and potato show, you know, and how many other like things we would be like ridiculed for.
It'd be like, you know, it'd be like just looking to just get tooled on by every YouTuber out there, and we'd be the laughing stock of YouTube. Which you probably already are anyway.
Yeah, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, shall we?
Exactly. How many times we run with that one? We wouldn't definitely have the HRC club would definitely not set foot in our show. That was an executive decision called by Ryan. I think at the time was the best one. And if I was stupid enough to hang on to ham and potato, I would not be as popular as we are today. Put it that way. All right. Well, enough of that. We got a bunch of things we're going to chit chat about. So we're just going to kind of dive into it. So, one of the things that we've just been recently doing, I think, as a club that I thought was pretty cool, little backstory is I like to kind of, push, activities in our club because, it makes, the three-letter word fun come out and, people enjoy, fooling around with the hobby. So I did, you can go on my channel and check this out, but I did a live fox hunt. And from that, my daughter had done it and it was a blast. It was a good video. You can go check it out on my channel if you want to see it. And we'll put it in the show notes. On my channel, at the time, Liffering Ham wasn't doing video until now, but, with that, a lot of conversation came out. I was like, oh, dude, wouldn't it be great if we could build antennas? What would be a great thing? And so guess what? What's the cheapest, easiest antenna to build? A tape measure Yagi. So, we kind of did a Zoom build on our club Zoom meeting with, the tape measure Yagi. And I thought that was a good project. I mean, we had all the parts and everything. And I haven't had a chance to finish soldering, up my coax, but I know you tested yours on the show, the Zoom live, and it worked out great.
It sure did. Yeah, I was actually really impressed with the receive strength, given the fact that I'm down in a hole where I live, and I'm in the man cave back here, and I just connected it up to my HT, and instantly I had great signals.
That's awesome.
Was it the repeater full strength too, right?
Yeah, well, and it was cool because somebody was talking on the repeater at the time, and so I literally could turn the antenna and have it good, and then turn it away, and it was gone. And so, that's exactly how it was supposed to work. And I was like, this is great. Like, I built it, and not only did I not have to fix anything, it worked the first time.
And it didn't catch fire.
Yeah.
My soldering iron didn't melt the bench, or I didn't grab it with the wrong, the wrong end.
Speaking of starting fires, I was taking the railings off my deck because I were finishing, just doing the finishing work. And I used one of those multi-tools. And I'm trying to see, those blades can be expensive and they go pretty quick, especially when you're doing a lot of work. So I'm chiseling away and I got a dull blade and the thing's smoking. And all of a sudden I get through and I put it down and it's just sitting there. And before I moved it, and I turn around and I'm looking and the thing is like literally caught on fire. It was smoking. I'm like, oh crap. I'm like, it's on fire.
Oh, no. Lighting your new deck on fire.
I know. Well, the old railing, but yeah, it was pretty bad. I was like, oh boy. So my wife's like, get the hose. So I had to hose it down. I'm like, holy crap. Who would have ever thought I would have started a fire on my deck by using the multi-tool? It's because I'm too damn cheap to go get a new, the new blade. I was like, I just use this old one. I only have a couple more to do.
We've all done it, man. We've all done it. We've put 6-inch screws through holes, all in the yards. We're all the same boat.
But man, could you imagine, like, I did it and I just walked away? Like, if I was like, okay, I got to go baseball, my freaking deck would have been burnt down.
Or your house would have been burnt down.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't going out. Like, I blew on it. Like, nope. Because it was in between the two you know, the pieces of wood, so it was like cindering inside. It had no place to. I was like,
wait, let me educate you a little bit on fire, right? There's three things that fire needs:
oxygen,
fuel,
which is the
deck. Oxygen,
yeah,
and heat, right? And so as long as you have those three things, if you provide more air, you're going to fuel the fire instead of putting it out. You need to take away one of the three.
Yeah. When all else fails, just that's the way I learned to voice.
I took care of it. I'm just saying it could have been bad if I had done that and walked away and left. Who knows what could have happened?
We would not be doing this podcast right now, or at least from a hotel room.
Yeah.
One of our members would be. Cool. Well, so yeah, we built those antennas. I thought it was pretty slick. You know, I'm looking forward to actually, you know, getting out and testing it. We're going to do another, live fox hunt with my daughter again. So we're looking forward to doing that and, seeing how my antenna performs. You know, I based off of your preliminary test, I have some confidence that I cut them the right length and we should be tuned for the 2 meter band.
So now when we do this new video on your directional finding, right? So should I be like hiding in a ghillie suit and then, you know, when you get close to the transponder, I'll jump out and be like, ah!
Kind of like Oscar the Grouch in this trash can.
So worst off is like, we usually have a group meeting before we all venture out and give some time for the live fox to go find their hiding spot. And so you could hide in a ghillie suit in the woods and I'll, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, I'll be like, this is how you use the antenna. And you can, you have a little transmitter. wait a minute, where the hell is that signal coming from? You know, have you like, can you identify Paul in the woods?
We saw Bigfoot.
I know. Right. That would be the worst. All of a sudden it turns into like, the Bedford police showing up and all of a sudden all of the SWAT. Oh yeah, no, not looking forward to that. Well, yeah, so that was kind of fun. I had a blast with that, and looking forward to kind of doing. We do a lot more of those with our club, I think, in the wintertime. So it was kind of a weird time for us to be on a Zoom, because we usually use Zoom when we're trapped in our shacks in the wintertime and not willing to go out in the 6 feet of snow. But with that, it was still fun, and I'm hoping the rest of the club members that had their kits were able to build them and they'll be ready for the fox hunt soon. So that'd be cool.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, let's dive in. Like, we talked, one of our other things was like 4-H. That was an interesting segue. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show. But I thought, from a standpoint, what was your highlight, reel for you, Paul? Like, obviously the context that you already mentioned, but anything else kind of catch your fancy, with the, we'll say ambiance. I mean, we obviously mentioned the tractor show and some of the other interesting aspects that the 4-H provides. But anything in our little corner of the world, gave you a good memory.
Well, so I guess my highlights of the day was super slow barrel racing. Like, I was amazed. I was like, you're supposed to run full speed, right? Like, I mean, they were just kind of trotting around the barrels. The tractor pulls were amazing. Interesting to see the differences in the tractor classes and how they pull that sled.
Was there any electric ones?
No, I didn't see any electric ones. No, everything was all gas and diesel. But as far as the radio side of things, I think the highlight was I got on after you and Ira was getting ready to like wrap things up. Like, his voice was gone. He was just kind of tired and done with the GOTA station. And I was like, I'll sit down and I'll operate for a little bit. And I got into a good rhythm and I'm getting some good contacts and I'm like, all right. You know, last call. And I get a guy and I'm like, all right, thanks so much. You're the last call. Have a great day. And thank you everybody for taking part in this wonderful special event. You know, it's 4-H and blah, blah, blah. And it's at 73. We are QRT, QRT, QRT. And then I got four guys that all come in at the same time. They're like, no, come on. And they're throwing their call signs out. And I was like, Ira, this is what you do. And I just turned the volume knob all the way down.
Can't hear you. Right.
We are done, sirs. Have a great day.
I can't do that. I'm always at one more. Let's just get one more. Oh, there's another guy on there. I'm terrible at it.
I have firsthand witness sitting next to him. It's like, we're at 30. I'm a round number guy. I don't know about you when you have photo logs. I can't stand it like a 33 or a 38 or a 56. It has to be nice around number. So like if it's going to get to like 95, I'm going to go for the next five so I can get 100 and then go from there. But yeah, this one, oh yeah, no, we get to a round number. Let's roll three more guys. Let's keep going. And I was like, oh my gosh, Todd, we got to go. And you said you had to go 10 minutes ago. It does not stop. Yeah. I love it. I mean, I'll sit there forever. Okay.
It's like, you know, I get really frustrated if I'm hunting a park and I've been trying to get on and the guy's like, all right, I'm all done. And he leaves. I'm like, oh, like I just spent like 20 minutes trying to work you. So I want to keep everyone happy.
Yeah. I remember the 7 park row. My gosh, that one, you had to learn that lesson hard because it's like the first few parks, Todd kept going. I'm like, Todd, we're at 10. No, kept going. Todd, we're at 10. We have 7 more parks to go. They can just follow us. Let them know that they can follow us to the next park, and they'll be able to get that plenty of times. That was a tough lesson, but yeah, we got through that one. Yeah, I think for me with the 4-H stuff, the one thing I was totally blown away by is that we get a club member, and some of our community members might know him, Ralph KC1TLY. Great guy. Very passionate about ham radio, loves always having a
conversation. HTs specifically.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Chinese HTs.
He has a big addiction when it comes to HTs, and as we all mentioned, the specific variety of Chinese HTs. But
we're going to be doing an intervention, right? Like he needs an intervention. He's got more HTs. Like he's got I think he's got every Kuaishang and Baofeng, every model. Like pretty much. I think. Yeah, he's got he's probably got 100 of them at least.
You're not wrong. I got a chance to go to his QTH a couple of days before the 4-H just to drop something off to him, and he gave me the walk around tour, and we started chit chatting. So we went up to his radio room. You are not kidding. Like he had probably a 24 foot long shelf window, you know, arrangement, and there was no space whatsoever in between the radios. They were all back to back to back to back to back. I'm like, Ralph, what's the difference between that one and that one? And he's like, oh yeah, it's this. I'm like, okay.
He knows.
He knows. And then the worst one, I'm like, Ralph, you know you have an addiction if you have a name for each one of those radios. And he's like, I do. I have a name for each one of those radios.
Listen, I heard those guys. When I was working and I was driving, I was up north, I was coming down, I was listening to the Epson repeater, and those guys on that Epson repeater all were naming all their radios. And it wasn't like the guy had like 2 radios. They were like, the guy was like listing off. I'm like, holy crap, that guy just listed off like 50 names.
I was like, Shirley, Peggy,
yeah.
Sue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after...
I have 2 HTs. Do I have 2?
Yeah,
I have 2 HTs and a scanner. I think that's what I got 2 scanners and 2 HTs. That's it. I don't even know. I mean, I know they're not charged because they sit in the thing. The only time I've used them is like when I go to like Nearfest or any kind of thing like that, and or field day. And this year I just didn't even bring it to Marlboro. I was like, who am I going to have to talk to?
They voted you. I have 2. Paul's got the record with this crew, but you know, you and I, Todd, we don't have the Baofengs like Paul does. So
I wonder if I can crossband repeat off the 3D one. You can't, right?
Nope.
All right.
Only the mobile rigs, because you have to have actually 2 physical working.
Yeah. Cables. Yeah. Well, doesn't the 3D have 2? No.
Nope. No, it has 2 sub bands, but
now that we rabbit holed, you were talking about Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so I'm trying to pull the train back in.
Good thing Paul's here to bring us back in line.
He's the chief summarizer in chief sometimes. So yeah, with Ralph, he did it something totally awesome, which I thought, and he was trying to solve the problem that we all struggle with, is like, you always hear the people complain about like, oh, you get into the ham radio hobby, it's so expensive, you know, well, why would I want to get into this hobby if I'm spending this much money on the hobby? So he did this. He took all of like four or five models of radios, and most of them were Quanchangs, and he had a Yaesu on another one. And he went online and printed out the small little Amazon kind of description with the price, put them next to each of the radios, and then, you know, showed visually to all of the people coming in that the hobby isn't expensive to get in, that you can buy a sub HT less than $50 and still talk on the repeater. And more so, he took it one step earlier. Like Paul said, he invited them and he set up with other guys on the repeater, which are so awesome. He set up scheduled QSOs with those guys. And so they were all sitting on the repeaters, both the Epson and our repeater as a club, waiting for these people to make contact with them. And so what he would do is that, you know, he'd show them the HTs and they'd be like, oh, go ahead, pick one. And he'd grab that HT and then he'd go outside and he would be like, hey, let's set up a QSO. And so he would engage somebody from a 440 side, depending on the type of radio, or on the 2 meter side. And he was just like knocking it out of the park. I mean, I have never seen someone like get people to the point that, like I said earlier, either running out tomorrow and clicking on that Amazon link that they'd already taken a picture of to go buy that HT because they know they needed it. And two, probably signing up for their next, technician's test, you know, or within, you know, running out and buying the book online so they could start studying quickly, using any one of the apps. And so that was just like, that was just total awesomeness with what that was going on. And so I've thanked Ralph, you know, multiple times, and I know a bunch of other people did in the club too as well, watching how awesome that was, because a lot of people just left there going, yeah, I can do ham radio. Yeah, I don't have to like spend gazillions amounts of dollars to like, you know, play in that space. And, you know, to basically get into something like that, that was awesome. I mean, like,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's a great idea too.
Oh yeah,
like,
totally.
Like putting them out there and then putting the links. And I mean, did he have QR codes so people could just scan it, or did he just have?
But at this point, I think we were all saying by the end of the day, I'm like, Ralph, so when are you going to get your dealer's authorization number on Chang's? He's like, I'm working on it.
I know. My kids are like, they always tell me like, you can do something where you can sell on Amazon. I guess a lot of the kids in high school and stuff do it. And they buy stuff. They find stuff cheaper than on Amazon. I don't know how they do it, but like, yeah, he could just go in there and have them sell off his channel and buy direct, and he could make money. Jeez, well, he could buy more.
I was telling him on the repeater last night that he should just like do reviews of the Quanchangs and send them directly to Quanchang, and I bet you they'll send him radio reviews, review models. So they'll be like, "Hey, review this for us," and he'll have more to his stable.
But he gets to a whole YouTube channel. I am the Chinese radio master. I've got everyone ever built from 2022 forward.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. He did that. And then the only other takeaway I think from that I thought was really cool that I want to make mention to is that we have a couple of the club members, QVO, and we obviously mentioned Tim, Mike, Casey, KC1 QVO. Or no, KB1 QVO, right?
KB1.
KB1 QVO, Mike.
And he was what I'll call the ringleader of the whole entire weekend, Saturday. Because as people entered the door, he was like, hey, you want to learn about ham radio? And then literally they would not have 2 seconds to say anything more. And he would be already escorting them over to, hey, learn your name in CW, or here, talk to Ralph if Ralph wasn't busy, or he like, you know. So they had this whole system set up. And I was just totally like, you know, this is it. I mean,
and he's the perfect guy for that. He's so like laid back in the way he's like, he's definitely the guy to drag you in. That'd be awesome.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed I missed it. You know, I had a good reason. Like I said, I was coaching baseball and couldn't be in two places at once. I'm a big fan of cloning myself, 'cause I could use a few of me, but anyway, it sounded like a good time, and just tons of positive feedback since it happened, just on the repeaters and just today on the net. That's all they really talked about, how wonderful it was. And so I think it's a good thing for us. It's one of the things that we promote here. You know, we're trying to, this whole podcast is about promoting ham radio. And it's just another way to do it, to get out there in the community. And it's a hands-on kind of learning thing. And people can touch radios and say, oh, this radio is $25. They're like, what? You know, that would have gotten me in if I didn't, you know, if I walked up there and I didn't know anything about it, and you said, you can go on Amazon, buy this, I would have bought one right there at the spot. You know, was there cell phone coverage out there?
Yeah.
Building it was all right.
It's all right. It's here in New Hampshire, you know, I don't have cell phone service at my house, let alone my town. It sucks.
All right. Well, let's just put this in a different gear here. So, you know, remote station. So we've touched on this a little bit. I think, you know, if you followed us a little while and you know, you're definitely an HRC follower and, you know, you've been on Near and whatnot, you'll know that, you know, we love sharing our radios and stuff. So, you know, I'll give you guys the floor. I'm tired of talking, you know, what's going on with the remote station stuff with you guys?
Well, Marvin, he's been using mine. He called me, he had trouble connecting to it. And then I didn't realize we lost power, I guess, overnight. And I don't understand why, if I lose power, my Flex goes out, even though it's hooked up to a battery backup, shuts down.
Yeah. Can't reboot itself.
Is that what it is? That's why I gotta put that remote thing on. Yeah. So I didn't even realize it was out. So I gotta reach out to him to see if he's been trying to get on. And I'm like, for like the last 24 hours, it's because I went on trying to get Alaska and I was like, what do you mean I have no radios available? And then I went down, I saw it was just not turned on. So I rebooted it and voila, back on. But yeah, he's been using it. He's got one on order, I believe. And I think he just wanted to get fool around with it. And I didn't mind him doing it. And I don't know how he's been doing. I haven't talked to him since he had the trouble logging on, but he did tell me that he did get logged on once he fixed his problem on his end.
Yeah, we'll have to talk. I want to spin back to that because there's something interesting on Marvin's side of where he's putting that. But, you know, we'll talk about that. So, you know, you got to talk about your heater there, Paul, and all the remote. I mean, 'cause you have kicked this crap off. I mean, with offering your radio to a few members on HRC to use at their, you know, discretion has been both amazing to constantly keep seeing your name in lights all the time, especially on the HRC side. But, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, just seeing how, like, they're using New Hampshire stuff. That, like, to me, that's awesome. But anyway, you know, we'll take your thunder. Go.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So, yeah, so my journey into the remote aspect of my radio, it actually all started because of Oklahoma Paul. And I'm going to butcher his call sign. I believe it's KC5CYY. But I could be mistaken. So, but anyways, it's Oklahoma Paul. And I met him through the Flag and Torch Society, and what he was doing was making his radio available to any of the deployed soldiers, right? And so the Flag and Torch being mostly active duty guys, there's constant rotations, you know, throughout the world. And so I had a friend of mine in Flag and Torch that was deployed to Romania for a while, and I sent him an antenna, and somebody else in the club had sent him a radio so that, you know, I mean, he had something in Romania to play with. But for the most part, because a lot of these countries that guys are deployed to, you know, there's a lot of restrictions. And, you know, depending on where you are and what your base is like, you might not be able to put up an antenna. So I said, well, let me also do this. So that way they have an alternate station. So if they can't, you know, get in through Oklahoma, at least they'd have a New Hampshire station and they can use it. And we've got another guy, he's deploying, very, very soon, within the next couple of days. He's going to, an undisclosed location in Africa for 18 months. And so I sent him the link and everything. And I said, look, you know, it's RC Forb, remotehams.com. I went a step above and beyond. And I also, I got the SDR console V3, where you can actually take your, whatever is displayed on your SDR, and you can stream it. And so that makes it a little bit more like the Flex interface where, you know, yeah, you've got RC Forb and you see the radio face on RC Forb, but then you're actually using, you know, the SDR console to do your tuning and you get, you know, the full spectrum waterfall and everything. And it's a really nice interface. So my station is, it's pretty locked down. But anybody that wants access, if you send me an email, it's on Cure's Ed. Just send me an email, and I'll give you the approval. But yeah, primarily it's it, you know, I put it up there for active duty guys to use while they're deployed.
Cool. Yeah. And so your what we'll say non-active duty folks have been both what, Shane and
Steve, KO4AFL, yeah. Yeah, he helped me get my remote station back up and running. So in all fairness to Steve, like he deserved access.
Yeah, I was, you know, obviously I've got a flex like Todd. And so Shane and I kind of been bouncing back and forth when, you know, we were chit chatting about other things. And I said, oh, yeah, you're more than welcome to use my flex anytime, so forth and so on. And then, you know, we just kind of got busy with life and didn't really follow up. And then Paul's like, hey, yo, gave him his offer. And, you know, he was on there a couple of live stream shows that I was listening to. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I realized that, you know, Shane's like, you know, all of a sudden, like, hey, we're doing a live stream now. We're going to play ham radio, which is very rare for HRC in general. But yeah, he was, it was the fun episode of trying to reach, Jason. I thought he was over in Texas, right? Is that the one that, you know,
yep.
Like 2 hours
yeah.
ago. And, you know, they kept bouncing back and forth with the, you know, hey, we'll get Paul going and gets on Paul's and he's like, oh, I can't hear him. And then I was like, Paul's like, give me a second here, hold my beer. And, you know, within 2 seconds, he's, you know, blasting, Jason with another, what, 500 watts or 750 watts or less than a kilowatt or something like that. Just
well, yeah, I mean, so being single sideband, you're never going to get the full power, right? So I had everything cranked, and so the amp should have been putting out about 1,000 watts. So sideband, effectively on the meter, it was reading about 500, a little better than 500 watts. But the funniest part of that is I had gotten Jason from my radio, like 10 minutes before the stream, barefoot. And then they were using my station and they couldn't make it through. And so, yeah, I mean, the amp, can't stay on, you know, for remote use, because if you change bands, the amp's not going to like that. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm sitting here, so let me warm it up. And yeah, all right, give it a go now. And yeah, they broke through.
Awesome.
Shane and I finally got connected back up, and he's now got access to my flex. And it's a little weird. Like, I don't know if you've experienced it, Todd, yet when Marvin's accessing yours or when you know he's accessing yours. But he'll, like, today is a perfect example. And Kyle did a live stream from one of the parks he was working out in St. Louis. And I was like, I got the ham alert that he was on. I was like, oh, I'll swing over to my flex. And as I swing over to my flex, all of a sudden I'm like, why is it when I move the band 1 or 2 kilohertz this way, it all converts back? And I'm like, apparently, and you know, again, flex and all their infinite wisdom still has kind of that old school mentality that even though you give people access to your flex and they're using your login information, they really have control of the SDR software per se. And it's not like what they call their multiflex, which is that, like, you know, I can have a slice, he can have a slice. Well, no, that's not true. I can have a separate slice, so I could probably, but when we transmit, like if I'm on his slice, I have control just as much as he has control. So we could lift there and like fight back and forth over what goes on. And I spent 5 minutes like, why is my mic keep flipping back? Why is the EQ flat? Like, this doesn't make sense. And I go to my profile and I click the profile and it changes everything. And then 2 seconds later, all of them change again. And I was like, what is going on? And then I realized, you know, when he presses transmit, all of a sudden, like, I don't hear anything. Like, I'm not hearing the audio back. And I'm like, oh crap, Shane's on my flex. And so I was like, at that point, I'm hitting him on Discord. I'm like, hey, are you using the flex? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to get Kyle. I'm like, well, I'm trying to get Kyle. I mean, like, you know, we can't hear each other if you keep fighting us back and forth. And so, you know, I'm like, all right, fine, just go ahead and, you know, go ahead, you make your contact and then let go of the flex and I'll go play with it and try to see if I can make a contact. But then, of course, you know, the bands in their infinite wisdom just fell on the floor and he almost got the contact. I got nothing except static. So, the life we live, but cool. All right. Well, you know, so remote, I mean, we're getting into it. It's definitely fun to do. If you've got a friend or a buddy who's got one, you know, dude, see if you can get their access. I mean, that's kind of what, that's basically, again, Todd being my flex pusher was what pushed me over the edge to get a flex. He's like, here's my login information. And so, you know, when he wasn't using it, I was using it, and I was like, oh, I really like this. And so, you know, we're just enablers, I guess, is what it boils down to.
Well, again, I mean, it's promoting the, you know, it's promoting the thing. I mean, what if, like, think about it. You get a new ham, gets his general, doesn't have a radio, you know, how do you keep him, how do you get him more excited and keep him in and get him more involved is giving him access to a radio. I mean, our club has our club radio that I know Tim had used for a while, KC1QDK, and, you know, and he's moved. I don't know who has it now, but it's but we have a club radio that we give to new members to try out and to get on until they get their own. So, anyway, good deal. I'm glad we're able to do that, and I like that idea about your buddy there. You know, allowing all the guys in active duty getting access to radios so they can, you know, have some fun too while they're serving our country.
For sure. Well, so we got one last, we'll say, point we want to, you know, kind of dig into. And, you know, this is coming straight from our VE Quizmaster here. You know, he's a big proponent of testing. And, you know, he's something I like to support and enjoy because I think this is, you know, obviously important aspect of it to, you know, get into. But, you know, what as we all have been testing with Todd, you know, I mean, we all have at some form or another had been introduced to getting our technician or our general class license. And we've been introduced to different styles of, you know, testing and whatnot. But I think one of the things that, you know, I'm learning and Paul's teaching me a lot is that, you know, this world of online VE testing is like the bee's knees, the place to be, you know, what we should be doing. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about it. You know, what have you learned in your experience so far as we kind of, you know, push our club into the 21st century a little bit and trying to do some of that. And, you know, maybe we can talk a little bit about, you know, how easier it is to, you know, take tests.
Sure. Well, so, you know, I got my technician in February of 21. All right. So it's not all that long ago, but I quickly, very quickly realized that I wanted to play on HF. So in March of 21, I upgraded to general. And in April of 21, I was a general class VE because as a general, you can become a VE. Now you can't touch anything above a technician test as a general. So that was my motivation to get my extra. And so I took my technician and my general in person. I did my technician up in Concord at the Bektash Shriners there. And those guys in Concord were super great. They were very, very, very nice. And then when I upgraded to general, I took that with GSARA, and I did that in person as well. And the one thing that I was noticing with these testing sessions, though, is everything is paper and it's a little bit slow. And so as I was gearing up in studying for my extra, I was obviously getting more involved in Flag and Torch, and Flag and Torch uses the Greater Los Angeles Area Radio Group for all of their testing, because we do hybrid testing, because most of our guys are active duty and they're on a military base. And so what they'll do is they'll have, you know, a week or 2 week long class, and the culmination of the class will be a testing session. And so it was really interesting to be able to sit in on the virtual side of things, you know, where I got to see and experience what it's like to do online testing and hybrid testing, where you've got a VE that's in the room and they're handing out the tests and they're doing the grade cam. And then, you know, like a totally remote session is unreal. Like, I mean, you would talk about the easiest testing session in the world. Like you got an opening script and you just kind of go through the script and you say, hey, you know, show me your room. And they do a nice slow pan with their computer and they show you the room, they show you the ceiling, and they show you underneath their desk and everything. And you make sure that their workspace is clean and clear. And, but they take the test online, it's instantly graded and it shows up in exam tools. That, you know, hey, it's, you know, green if they pass, it's red if they fail. If they pass, just like an in-person session, you get to take the next element if you're ready for it. And I really wanted to get our club to get away from the old school paper. And Exam Tools is a phenomenal resource, and a lot of clubs are using it for online and hybrid and in-person testing sessions. So I reached out to the team lead for GSARA VE, and I said, let me explain to you a little bit of what I've been doing with Exam Tools and how that can benefit us. And so we sat down last week, and I showed him on my laptop. I said, look, this is how easy it is. And for the VEs, once the VE is set up in Exam Tools, it is so super easy. You get assigned to the testing session, and then once the testing session is complete, you just click and you sign, and you've got a digital signature. So all of the forms are digital. And so they're all submitted up the food chain digitally. And then the testee gets a digital copy instantly, right? So there's no more waiting for paper. There's no more, you know, mailing the packet to the ARRL, and then they would then submit it to the FCC, and you know, a week or two later you get your call sign assigned to you. With everything being digital, it's all fast, and you'll have a call sign issued to you within a couple of days. So I'm very, very happy and very proud to be kind of leading our club in this new VE venture. We've got a testing session coming up on September 14th, and that'll be my first session running a session. So, you know, it's kind of a big deal for me, I guess. You know, it's my first one on my own. But yeah, I hope that in the future we can get some hybrid and some remote sessions, because currently we're only doing 4 in person sessions a year, and I think we could do better than that. I think we should be able to, you know, do an event like the 4-H Agricultural Fair, where we could say, hey, look, we're gonna have a technician class for, you know, 2 to 4 hours, and then at the end of the technician class we're gonna have an exam session. And just do it all right there and get everybody done and licensed. So I'm very excited about the future of VE testing. And I got to say, huge shout out, right? I mean, we promote ham study a lot, and not for any reason that benefits us in any way. It's just it's a great platform to learn. It's a great platform to study on. But it's also the platform that brought us Exam Tools. And so, you know, Signal Stuff is the primary business that funds it all. And huge shout out to those guys, because it's a great platform. It's super easy to use. And I really do look forward to a lot of the future in VE testing for our club. And maybe Live Free and Ham.
Yeah. We were talking about that a little bit offline, and you know, we're still working out the details, but you know, once we get to that place, I think we'll make a big announcement. And, you know, those that might have interest and you are VEs and you want to become part of that to help out and, you know, further the registration side of things and getting people licensed, then we'll make sure we promote that and let you guys know when and where and have you be part of it. It'd be kind of fun. It'd be more than fun. It'd be awesome. I'd love to be able to, you know, wouldn't it be cool to be able to report numbers like every like couple of weeks? So like, hey, we had 25 ham. Well, 25. We had 12 hams, you know, all of a sudden become licensed. You know, 25 would be awesome.
Even if it's only 2.
Yeah. Or 1.
Yeah. 1, 2. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Small numbers are good too. So, I mean, Todd, your experience with testing was a similar, well, mine was very old, like, you know, in this new way or this method that they're doing stuff is almost like night and day, because my very first technician's test, I had to wait 8.5 weeks for my license to show up in the mail. Like, I mean, I'm not, it's nothing like, I'm not like saying get off my lawn type things, but it was still a long period. And I was like 18 years old and I was, or no, I was 17 at that time. And I was like, I have to wait 8 weeks for my freaking license. This is ridiculous. Well, they have to mail it. And, you know, someone has to spend time sending the stuff.
Yeah. Well, my, my first one, so it was, God, I think it was, it wasn't, was it there? I don't think it was during COVID. I don't know. It was outside in a parking lot in Concord. And it was a nice day. It was, I was like, all right. So I went out there and I sat down. They gave me the exam. I took it. I handed it in. They said I passed. And then I just had to wait. And I had to wait. I got my, on the website, on the FCC website, it was a lot quicker than getting the actual paper. And nowadays, you know, one of the technicians, like you can, to get your technician license, once it's on that webpage and published, then you can talk, right, and get on the air. My second one I did at the Ham, the Marlboro, what do they call it, Hamvention. And I kind of went with you guys, or I went with you, and I think Bill was there. I can't remember who else was there. Ryan with us?
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, Ryan.
Oh, no. Yeah, we were all doing our first live stream there.
No, no, no. That wasn't the one I took my general. That was like 2 years before that. I took my general there.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm a mistake. Yep.
So anyway, so I kind of went there and I knew that they were doing tests, and I walked in. I said, hey, can I take my test? And they're like, yeah, which one do you want? I'm like, general. And it was just a big open room, and there was different people at different stages doing all the tests. And they had, I want to say they probably had like 10 VEs in there, you know, probably watching each one. Like there was a lot of them up front. And yeah, that's how I got my general. And then what was cool about that is I got it. And, you know, once you're a technician, you become a general, you can activate, you know, you can start using the bands basically right away, but you have to do like what slash,
stroke AG.
Yeah. Stroke AG. So that was a little tongue twistery.
Here's, yeah, this is my original paper license for my tech that I had to wait for to come in the frickin' mail before I could actually get on a repeater. Now I had my HT before I even had my technician license. You can imagine how torturous that was to be able to just have to listen and not be able to like participate even in the nets. You know, it was like,
yeah. And you know, and you know, I'm not a big fan of government. You know, I think government messes more things up, but the FCC website is, it's just atrocious. It's just trying to find like where it is like impossible. So, you know, you try to bookmark it, then it won't let you go to the bookmark. You go through, I'm like, Jesus. Like, so it was like, I would just check it like once a day. Like, you know, nowadays you'd think there'd be like an app and you'd get an alert being like, ding, oh, you're on. But, you know, the government's always behind on their website stuff. So that was frustrating for me. But, you know, I think, Paul, if there was a way that, you know, with this, if it gets to the point where, like, people can just do it online and you could have, you know, we could do one, like, once a month at the club. Like, you know, like we do a club meeting, we do a test session. Whether we get anyone or one or 100, you know, whatever, I think that would be awesome. And the convenience would be huge, because that was the other one. Like I had the, for my technician, like I couldn't find one that was local. Like that was the closest one. I mean, they were like, oh, you can go down to Rhode Island. I'm like, I'm not going down to Rhode Island. Like that's ridiculous. Right. So that was my experience.
So when it came to my extra, right. I had a plan, and my plan was that by January 30th of 24, right. So this year, by January 30th, that was my deadline, that I was going to get my extra. And on New Year's Eve, I was consistently getting, you know, like 80s and 90s on my practice tests. So I literally, I went on to Ham Study and I said, find a session online. And there was one that started in 5 minutes. And so I clicked on it and I registered and I paid I think it was $10 instead of 15. And all right, PayPal paid it. And so I got to experience, that was my first experience with, you know, exam tools and all of that. And it was amazing. It was so easy. It was so relaxed. You know, I was literally sitting in my living room in my recliner with a laptop, And, you know, all they wanted to do was see the room. They wanted to make sure there wasn't anybody around that was going to bother me, or they would, you know, there was no testing information that was going to, you know, give me an advantage. And that's what I was like, yeah, sign me up for this, because I want to do this. I want to help with this, because it's so good. And to have all of your files digital, your CSEs digital, your 605s digital, you get it instantly. As soon as the testing session is concluded, it is in your inbox, in your email. And then the FCC emails you that says, yep, all right, we received it, you know, and it's like 2-3 days later. So yeah, it's 100% a no-brainer. It just makes things so much easier. I was talking with Bob AA1DY, who is currently our VE lead, until we have a transition. But I asked him, I said, what is it like after a session for you? And he said, well, he said, I have to go home and then I have to scan all of the tests and the answer sheets and they're 605s, and I have to scan everything all in a row and then compile it into a PDF and then email it to the ARRL. And I was like, what a giant pain in the ass that is. And then, if you do it this way,
what does the ARRL do with it?
Well, so the ARRL is, they are our VEC, right? So they're our coordinator, our VE coordinator. Mm-hmm. So everybody that is under the ARRL VEC umbrella, right? We all do testing for the ARRL. Mm-hmm. We submit everything to them, and then they submit it to the FCC.
So they're the middleman.
Yeah, but you know, there's I believe there's five big VECs currently, and most of them are all away from paper, and they're just doing the online thing with the exam tools. The ARRL is still doing everything the old way, but I did hear a rumor, and it's a rumor, but I heard a rumor that by next year the ARRL is going to push all of their VE teams to switch to exam tools because it is so much more an efficient process.
Right. No, that's awesome.
So we're just going to be a little bit ahead of the curve, and that's good.
It will make us, you know, more visible to many more people to test, especially if we get more in the wintertime and remote and nobody wants to drive.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing too is like, if you go to like, say like, you know, the fair and you see it, you know, and I know today, you know, you got more technology, you can Google and, you know, and go on YouTube and find stuff. But like, honestly, it's like, how much better would it be for like people in their own homes? You know, maybe they get, you know, maybe they have anxiety about testing or being in rooms with people and they're not, you know, they just want it to be in their, they feel more comfortable. They might actually even do better. And think of the amount of money it must save, because I don't know if some of these exam, I mean, maybe a lot of them are at churches and stuff and it's volunteer, but I mean, think of the time saved too. Like if you're a you know, what do you call it, a VE, and you're there, I mean, you don't have to be there for 5 hours, you know, or however long you do the session. You're just there for, you know, if you're doing the session, you know, one session for, you know, and it's over and done with, and you're in your own home. So, you know, if you got to go get something to eat, you can go grab something to eat, or you need something to drink, you know, you're home. So I don't know. I agree. I think it'd be awesome. I mean, at some point they'll probably just have like an app for it, you know, cool. Like you just take the test on the app and voila, you're done. So,
well, that's it. So exam tools, it, you know, I mean, it's a website, but, right. if you bookmark it on your device, It actually ends up acting like an app.
Right.
And so, yeah, so a lot of the VE teams will have like Chrome tablets or Chromebooks that everything is stripped from it and it's locked down. And the only thing you have access to is that one kind of icon that is exam tools. And then that's it. I mean, you literally take your test right there and you can just select your answers and you go down through the list. If you have to skip a question, it highlights it and it shows it up at the top, and it'll show you all the number of the questions that you skipped.
Oh, and then when you because when you do the paper, when you got to go through all the pages, like, oh, did I, because I did that, like I said, did I skip any, or, you know, which I know I skipped one, which one did I skip? And you got to go, and it's like the old school with the circling in the dots with the pencil.
Yeah, the bubble sheets.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well, I've heard so many horror stories too about people, like, they'll skip a question but they forget to skip it on the bubble sheet. And so then every single question is wrong from there on out. Mm-hmm. And they never realize, you know, but so doing it this way, it's foolproof. I mean, it literally just is foolproof.
Yeah. And dude, that's for no matter how, like, this is like thinking the scale of a smaller club that's like, doesn't have like several VEs, maybe has two, you know. You had mentioned earlier, like, you can call upon many other VEs like in the nation and just say, hey, we need one or two people of this, you know, testing session remote. Would you be willing to do this? You know, and 9 times out of 10, most people jump on it. Like, yeah, sure, I could do one session. So you've got now like more in the process to be able to get people tested without having to cause more delay because, like, oh, well, we can't find a room, or we can't, you know, find enough people to, you know, staff the VE session to be able to make it official, and, you know, so forth and so on. So yeah, it's a win-win-win all the way across the board, which is kind of silly for any club not to want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, because I've got the ARRL VEC accreditation, and I've also got the Greater Los Angeles Area Radio Group VEC accreditation. Like, I mean, living in New Hampshire, I've done military sessions where, you know, they're in Romania, they're in Fort Eisenhower, they're, you know, here, there, and everywhere. I'm in New Hampshire. I'm not in Los Angeles, but right. I'm VEing for them.
Right.
You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. We definitely need to take advantage of the technology, and, you know, it's not the old school ways, you know, when they didn't have that option. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I work for the state and they would never let us use like Zoom or any kind of video conferences for meetings. And then COVID hit and then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, we can do this. And I've been telling them to do this for like years. I'm like, why are we driving every other day, like 100 miles to go to a 20-minute meeting? I can just do it online. Oh, we can't do that. You know, that's not good practice, blah, blah, blah. Now, you know, everything's on Zoom or Teams or whatever. It's so yeah, that's awesome. Maybe I get my extra, the three of us could be our own testing session.
You're gonna be your VE for your session?
No. I get my extra.
That's not allowed.
I get my extra and then we all take the VE test or whatever and become certified, and then we could do testing. The free and ham testing.
All about, you know, promoting this community. And I'm sure we're all in the same agreement that, you know, hey, if this is something that our community wants and we want to do it, then yeah, let's, you know, figure out how to make it happen and put it together. And, you know, hey, if we're striking a chord with folks that might be listening, you know, reach out to, head over to our Discord, check us out, you know, let us know that you'd be interested, and, you know, we'll get this ball rolling. You know, it's an opportunity, and it's something that, you know, you can obviously give back in, but, you know, more so you get a whole lot more back from it just by doing it. So, you know, it's totally awesome, and I'm all for it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, I am looking forward to the challenge when we need more VEs and we have too many people signing up from the 4-H because they all want to get their technician. That when I get to that place, I was like, okay, I've done it. I've completed it. Let's, you know, let's hand this off and move it to something else. So, you know, that's kind of my goal with that. So that'd be cool. So, all right, well, let's kind of wrap this up since we're a little long here, but if you're still stuck with us, we appreciate you hanging out. It's always a blast. We are not like the ham radio clubhouses or, you know, the ham radio workbench folks, but we definitely still like to chat and talk about ham radio. And so, you know, if you've enjoyed any of this, you know, let us know. Talk to us in the Discord. Say hello. You know, let's keep this conversation going. You know, it's always something fun to talk about. We're passionate about it. We're, you know, we know others out there are the same way. So let's see what we can do to put some feet under it. So All right. Well, with that, you know, guys, have any last things you guys want to add to our smorgasbord event tonight, or, you know, you're all hammed out?
Just remember, ham radio makes me feel dumb every day, and that's okay. There's always something new to learn.
On sale at the Liffrey and Ham store. Very cool. All right, guys. And, well, good.
And ham radio found me.
That's
in the store too, right?
It's in the store, dude. Yeah, we're gonna have to like go through like we'll have to do like a fashion show. We'll just buy all the shirts
and
our stuff. Oh yeah, and those guys up north. The famous
Izzo shirt.
The shirt that started it all. In our obsession.
The OG. All right, well,
Nothing less. All right. Well, let's wrap this up here. So thanks again for joining Live Free and Ham and being part of the podcast community. You know, remember, if you haven't subscribed, we say, what the hell you been doing? Come on, you know, come be part of what's going on. We'd love to have you. We want to, you know, hang out and get to know you more. And as always, there are always several ways you can connect with us on the show. You can head over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop, pick up some merch. If we see you wearing it, we're going to make sure we point you out and say hello and thank you personally. We appreciate the support. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, and we know a bunch of you guys do, you can always head over there and leave a review, even though it's a pain in the ass on iTunes. Hopefully they fix that damn thing for all our Android folks. And, you know, if you can't, you know, do it there, then we always have in every notes section of all of our podcasts and YouTube channel and the SMS link. You can click and send us a review. Send all the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. We want to hear about it. We want to say hello. We want to hear. And we'll share that on our next show with you next time. And so you can always support and our show through Patreon and buy us a beer links. Those are all conveniently located on our show notes and the website. And you can reach any of our hosts. Both on QRZ or on livefreeandham.com. And with that, thank you again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.